Hello, everyone, and welcome to another fantastic night of Fandom Access. I'm your ever faithful host, AJ. Greetings and salutations. And we already have one of my lady co-hosts. Sorry. Hello.
Hi, AJ. How are you?
Good, Erin. Stumble over my words as I tried to introduce you.
Oh, that's okay. Can't get it right every week. Jamie should be here in a sec, right?
I would hope so.
I think we have three tonight, yeah.
While we wait for Jamie, real quick, I don't give two shits about any of the award shows because I think most of them are all political anyway and rigged and whatnot. But I gotta say, I'm very happy that Matthew Reeves was finally recognized for The Americans.
I am too. I only watched about the last 15 minutes of the show, so I caught him getting that award. I would have loved to see the Americans have a sweep because I think Kerry Russell was amazing. And I think the show, you know, I think it was a great season, and I think it was a great 5 years, and I would have liked to have seen it get best drama. I think it was a better show than Game of Thrones.
I agree, but it wasn't.
And I like Game of Thrones.
Popular, yeah.
Yeah.
The writers did though win for best episode, which was Star,
yeah.
Which was the finale. So they did win for that.
Oh,
also,
yeah.
Which is great.
Okay, well that's thank goodness.
And, good evening, Jamie.
Hi. What was up with his comment about? At least I'm assuming you're talking about the Americans. What was up with his comment about the fans? He didn't seem too pleased
about the fans.
Yeah, I forget exactly what he said, but saying that like the fans didn't stick with the show all the time or something.
What?
Oh, because the ratings. Cause the ratings dropped.
Oh, okay. He seemed
a
little perturbed. That's why I wondered. Okay.
Maybe that's why I didn't really. I watched him give a speech. I didn't really catch that, but.
Okay.
I only watched the final, 15 minutes. I thought it was kind of boring, actually.
So did I.
And I was just...
My only question is, why do they continue to have people... It seems like you can't be the host on the award show unless you've been on Saturday Night Live.
I don't know, but who were the people that were hosting it? I'm sorry, I don't watch... SNL much anymore. Maybe
okay,
were they from that too?
And there you go.
But they weren't very funny. I didn't think
it was Michael Che
in the beginning, but I didn't think they were funny.
Michael Che and the other guy who do Weekend Update, yeah. But I found them to be somewhat stiff and boring. Surprised me.
I would say probably the most interesting thing in the whole night was when that guy proposed to his girlfriend, and that was pretty much the only thing that happened. I don't know. I was happy.
Yeah, I
missed
that.
That Sandy Newton won for Westworld
really
and
funny.
Really surprised, but that was pretty much the only thing I was happy about. Sorry, go ahead.
Something really funny, actually, Karen. Did you hear what Kerry Russell said to
that was funny.
Matthew Reeves, she told him, if you win and propose to me, I'll kill you. Or no, I'll punch
so,
you
yeah,
in
I'll
the
punch,
nose.
I'll punch you in the face.
Punch in the nose. Oh, punch his face.
Yeah.
Are they... dating,
yeah.
Or was that just a joke? Cause of
yes,
the show?
They've been together for years, and they have a son, which is why he said that to the creator of the show, you gave me a son, because on the show they got together and had a baby in real life.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense. I wondered why he said that. Like, that was a guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I got to say, I didn't watch any of it, but I heard some of the highlight stuff. And Sandy Newton's acceptance speech I thought was great. She's like, I don't believe in God, but I'm going to thank her right now.
Yeah, yeah. In general, you know, the competition in the acting categories was very stiff, and everyone was really good this year. And I thought for the few people that I saw, many of them seemed to be surprised that they won. Candy Newton seemed to be surprised that she won. Matthew Reese seemed kind of surprised that he won. Dinklage seemed a little surprised that he won. Claire Foy from The Crown seemed a little surprised that she had won, I guess. Maybe because the competition was so tight. Or because they're just nice.
Especially,
I don't know. I didn't really
people.
Care about much of the the categories this year. I feel like the only things I really was going to pay attention to other than Westworld, which I doubt would have. I didn't expect Westworld to win. I mean, I would have liked it to, but as I wanted, like I said, I thought that Patrick Melrose should have won because I think it was really good, and I would have liked to have seen Tatiana Maslany win. I didn't think that was going to happen either, but I still think it should have. Those were the only two I really cared about, so kind of like that's enough.
One thing to say.
I wonder whose phone that was.
Oh, you know what? A lot of the drama categories, the people that won, they were probably surprised because they were just expecting everything to go to Game of Thrones.
Yeah, and Game of Thrones was not the best drama on television last year, I think. I mean, it's good and I like it, but the competition was stiff. And I don't think Westworld was the best show on television last year either.
I don't know.
I read a headline that says Game of Thrones has now won for best drama all of their worst years.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, we've got that safely behind us and a new season starting soon. So, I guess let's get on with it tonight, huh?
Okay.
I wanted to ask you guys something. I heard something. I didn't read it. I heard it secondhand. But I heard a rumor that they're going to kill Morgan on Fear the Walking Dead.
I haven't heard that rumor. They kill everyone on The Walking Dead. On Fear, they kill everyone all the time lately. It's like the Game of Thrones of zombie shows lately. So so many people are getting killed on that show. I haven't heard that. I wouldn't be surprised. A, because that's what they do. B, like how long is an actor of Lenny James caliber going to stay on
especially
combination of shows. Yeah, right? Yeah. I haven't heard that. I don't know. I try to stay away from spoilers. So, I don't know.
All right. Well, I just gave the perfect segue for you guys to talk about it now.
Okay. Well, I didn't watch it yet, so.
Oh,
all
right.
Talk about it a few months after. But,
okay, I'll wait. So you don't want to get spoiled, I guess, huh?
No, but I was going to say, before we go into the shows, I did want to mention quickly about Midnight Texas, since I haven't talked to anybody since I've been back. You guys, I assume, mentioned it last week, even though I wasn't here. I don't know. Did you?
All we said was you'd gone on a set visit and there'd be some articles up soon.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I didn't know what you said. I wonder. Okay, well, last week on Wednesday, I went to Albuquerque again for Midnight Texas set visit. They had things a little different this year. We did roundtable interviews, but the majority of it was actually out on the set, and we got to watch them film some different scenes, none of which that stuff I can talk about because we got major spoilers for a lot of things. But most of the stuff will be up, like, starting the week before the premiere, but I am going to put up, like, kind of a, teaser article probably with a couple quotes. And I do have up the first round of set photos that are already there. The main thing I will say is that it does seem like it's going to be a lot different with the new producers. I don't know. To me, it seems like it's going to be darker, but that's just kind of my impression since I haven't really seen other than two little scenes. But they've also added Nestor Carbonell and Jamie Ray Newman to the cast. They play the new hotel owners in Midnight. So that's kind of where the season starts out. Because I know at the end of the season, obviously, they were starting construction or whatever it's supposed to be. So I'm trying to think. There's really – I don't want to say anything that's spoilery, but that's kind of the main thing where the setup is. Obviously, some of the actors have left and things are different. But some things are different. But I suggest everyone watch it. And like I said, in the coming weeks, there'll be more up. And hopefully now – I've been having, not that this is new for me, but having computer issues these last couple of days, if you saw me complaining on Twitter. But at least some of it will be up, like the rest of the photos and that, in the next few days. So anyway, that starts October 26th, I think. I'm so bad with dates. But anyway, so there you go.
Great.
All right. Well,
looking forward to checking it out.
Yep. Do you want to start with Wynonna? Sound good?
Sure. Yeah. Let's start with Wynonna. Go ahead. You were curious.
No, I was curious what you thought, because I really liked it, but I don't know. I think because of some of the stuff you don't like, I figured you wouldn't like it for some reason. So
I didn't particularly like this episode, and I the further we get along, I don't particularly like this season. I have, like, some issues with this season, and the parts that I was enjoying, like their mother, Michelle, you know, have been changed or stalled or whatever's going on. She's gone right now. I am not really down with this whole Doc's entire storyline this season is really problematic for me. First of all, I continue to just not, the more I learn about his love story with Kate, the less I believe it. I just, you know, we saw the flashback of the moment they met when she read his tarot. I guess we saw that last week. I can't remember if it was last week or this week, but when they met and she reads Bolshar's cards and then she reads his, and I just, like, was I supposed to see a spark of instant attraction there? Because I didn't. I just don't, I'm having a hard time buying them together. Now we learn, we also learn this, like, she became a vampire so that she could live forever to search for Doc.
I don't.
I mean, I only see it because they tell me I'm supposed to believe it. Like, I don't really now it's supposed to be a tragic love story, and I'm supposed to feel, I don't know, like sympathetic to her, I guess, that she did it for love.
Me, too, is she had asked him to help her a couple episodes ago, and we talked about how it seemed like for a while he was with her when we didn't know if he was with Wynonna, I don't know. And then supposedly now he turned into a vampire for Wynonna, which other than to live forever to protect her, I didn't quite get. That, I mean, I get what he said in the episode that, like, he wouldn't save his soul if it meant having to, you know, give her up to Bolshar. So I see in that sense, but that had nothing to do with being a vampire. So I don't know. I just honestly, I like this show a lot, but I don't really like the vampire storyline. And I agree with you, this season, parts of some of the mythology haven't been as good as it was last year. I'm still enjoying it. I just, I don't get why they added that whole,
I think
it was all unnecessary.
Yeah, we're supposed to believe that he became a vampire so that he can be immortal to help protect Wynonna.
I guess, but he worked so long to not be immortal. Like, you know, he hated being immortal. It just, I don't know, it seems counterintuitive.
Putting that part aside, I also don't find Bolshar to be a particularly scary or frightening villain. I thought the widows were better. And I think Bobo, in general, is a way better antagonist. And I just, like, Bolshar is just not that scary. Like, he just walks around and makes it snow and makes trees. And he force-fed all those people honey, which still don't understand what that was about.
The honey, I still don't know what that was, but I think that was...
I don't know what it was.
I don't know, because the smoke stuff or whatever was what put him in their trance.
I find him to not be a particularly, like... frightening villain. I was happy. So what I liked this week, I didn't like a lot of it. I enjoyed seeing Mercedes, even though it makes no sense that I didn't even realize that she was still alive.
Well, they had faces before, but they had no faces left. Like, they had faces, but like they weren't the other witches. Because I had to think about that. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. They had her body, but she had no face. So I guess they took it off the witch and gave it back.
I had totally forgotten about her.
Even if I don't quite buy it, but
she's a welcome return. I think I was happy to see her back. I didn't really. So the whole like that Bolshar's got them trapped in a dream sequence, I found to be a little not the most original. I feel like maybe that's something that you know we've seen before on other shows.
I think we've seen it before. Yeah. I don't know. See, I agree we've seen it before. But I actually really, really liked that part. I thought that the episode was creepy. I don't know if Bolshar himself, when he's, like, talking, I don't necessarily find him scary, but I like the way that he, like, the whole, what he did to her and that putting her in her mind and scaring her I thought was creepy. But I get the opinion, and I don't know if it was just because of he wanted Peacemaker or not, I'm starting to get the opinion that maybe he can't actually kill her. and that's why he was going through all that. But I don't know, I found it tense, and the fact that, you know, like, Doc was dying, she's trying to save him. I liked it. I like I said, or like you said, I agree. I was glad Mercedes was back, even if it had some plot holes. I'm glad no matter what they did away, bring her back. She was really good.
And
it's good that even though she's good, she's still like that bitchy Mercedes, because I don't think she was as bitchy when she first came on the show. I can't remember, but I like her like that.
Yeah.
And I kind of am warming up to the Angel story. Like, I wasn't sure how it was going to go, but I like the fact that, or found it interesting, I guess, that she was able to heal Mercedes. And I'm assuming that ring is probably going to be part of how they're going to defeat Bolshar, because the whole thing through the whole, you know, the beginning part of it, like, Nicole's like, you know, you have to get this ring off. It was a demon's ring. It's not a demon's ring. It's an angel's ring, because we find out it was her father's. So that kind of twists that.
So
that was interesting.
Right, so how did Bolshar get it? Like, did Bolshar steal it from Julian? Or, you know, could, like, I'm wondering if there could be connection between Bolshar and Julian. Like, did Bolshar maybe used to be an angel before he became a demon? Or could he, I don't know. It
maybe.
Seems like maybe there's going to be some kind of link there that we should look out for.
But I kind of like I was just going to say, I kind of like the repetitive trying over and over again. Like I said, I enjoyed the storyline, although it has been done. And, you know, I saw in the space recap, the space recap, they actually, I hadn't even thought about it until I read this, but they compared it to Heaven Sent on Doctor Who, which I also really liked. The other thing I was going to say is I don't get the whole why he controls the trees, but I think it's kind of, I don't know, different and creepy. I don't know. I really like the episode. I don't really like the whole vampire thing, but the episode in itself I did like. I thought the ending when she was walking out, though, at first, where she, like, thinks she's safe, I thought that was kind of lame. You knew she wasn't going to be safe.
Yeah.
It was just a trick. Kind of hoped that they were going to get to her before she gave him the gun, but I think we all knew that was going to happen. I mean, that's where it was headed. But now they found the tower or whatever, so we'll have to see.
I feel like the vampire thing really needs to end. I guess it won't end until the end of the season, but I predict that Waverly is going to be able to reverse it with the ring. Like, they already said, Kate already said, oh, by the way, if you kill me, it doesn't, like, release everybody I bit. That's a myth. Like, that won't work, so don't try to kill me. And I just started getting the feeling that if Waverly was able to, like, heal Mercedes' face, that sort of gave me the idea that she might be able to, like, cure Doc of being a vampire.
Yeah,
we'll see. I could be totally wrong. I just made it up. I have no real reason to think it other than suspicions.
Yeah. I'm not sure about the whole Paradise Eden thing, but we'll see, I guess, how that plays out once he finds it or doesn't.
Well,
find
see,
it
that also sort of plays into the angel thing, right? Because the Garden of Eden, it's so biblical, and I, you know.
Well, maybe her father's, maybe they'll find him, maybe he's there guarding it, or hers, not theirs.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, I think at some point we're going to see find Julian. I mean, either the mother's going to find
him,
or they are, I think, is heading that way. But, we'll wait and see. And I don't know if you watched the preview, but Anna Silk's in it.
I didn't get a preview. When you watch on demand, I don't always get the preview. Because it cuts off, you know.
I wouldn't have even sure
cuts
it was
off.
Her, it was quick, but I had already heard time when I was there that somebody had mentioned it, that she was going to be on. So, that's coming. So that's cool. And I don't know. There must only be a couple episodes left. Seems like these shows.
There's only
started.
Two. Oh, they did say only two episodes left, right? Okay. Or is that Killjoys only has two episodes left?
Killjoys, I think, only has one. I don't know. It seems like they're really short. It seems like to me like they just started. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. It just felt like they just started. Maybe there wasn't as many breaks in between. I don't know.
They only do like a 13.
And obviously Wynonna's coming back. Killjoys has only one season coming back, the final season. So, all right. Well, talk about Killjoys. You know, this show, this episode was like a funny episode. I liked that they were kind of back to a lot of the, I mean, not that they haven't been, but I don't know. I just found this episode particularly funny with the banter and everything, and I enjoyed this a lot.
Really?
It
was incredibly, like, shockingly sad, this episode.
Well, no, yes. Let me rephrase it. There was a very shockingly sad part, but there was a lot of comedic lines between some of the characters before the shockingly sad part. I didn't think about that. Yeah, that part was really sad.
Like, wait,
I guess it was made to counterbalance. It was made to counterbalance that part. But no, but there was a lot of, like, even with Delcea and stuff, just some of the, there was a lot of good one-liners, I guess. But yeah, I cried. This episode was sad. So the end was sad anyway. I think at a certain point you knew, like as soon as you knew somebody had to die, you knew it was going to be Pip. Because you knew, well, it could have been Fancy. I didn't think it was going to be. But you knew it wasn't going to be one of the main characters.
Yeah, so I was kind of surprised.
Like, less mission than
yeah.
Fancy. Yeah,
I was kind of surprised because I like Pip, and he has turned out to be a welcome addition to the group. Not just because he's a little bit of comic relief, but he really has grown, and he and Zeth have turned out to be an interesting couple. And so that surprised me. But, you know, once it happened, I was like, oh, well, it's been so, you know, signaled all season long with the way the spider in his brain was going to kill him, and there was no way they could, you know, fix him, and they hadn't figured it out yet. And so when I thought back on it, I was like, okay, well, the signs were there, and they've been setting it up.
Yeah, definitely.
So that it would make sense for him to die. So, yeah, that was kind of sad and surprising.
But it made sense for him to be the one. He was going to die. I like the idea. I thought it was pretty cool, the idea that they just teleported the puddle away. Like, they didn't even, we don't need to go there and do anything. We're just going to take it from you. So, so that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
I didn't quite understand. I mean, I maybe should have rewound and re-listened, but I didn't quite understand how that machine somehow made them able to pass through. It, like, regressed them, and I got with her that it maybe made her seem Hullen, but I didn't understand how it connected with Johnny unless it was just because of how Zeph rewired it. The science in this one was kind of went above my head. I don't know.
Well, I thought because Johnny was Hullenized for a little while on the show,
maybe
there was some
I don't know, they didn't explain it, but I liked Weege, though. I didn't like they killed Weege. He was funny.
I mean, Weege was kind of funny, and they had a funny relationship there, but, I mean, Weege was a very minor character and a Hullen.
Yeah, that's true, too, But I also liked the interaction this episode, the scene with Turin and Dutch. Their argument, that was kind of funny. I enjoyed that.
I mean, Turin's not wrong, right? These three are a pain in the ass that won't listen. Ever.
But he still gave her way in the end anyway. Of course.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. It's clear that, so you said there's only one left. It's clear that they are coming to, you know, now she has traded places with Anila. Dutch and Anila traded places, right? And so Dutch has gone into the green to fight the lady. Which makes sense because Anila was breaking.
Was
breaking, and someone's got to go in and, like, relieve her.
Right.
So it totally makes sense.
Right.
And Dutch has to be the one to defeat the lady.
Them. Yeah, and at first I'm thinking, why is she not telling them what she found out? And I'm thinking, of course she's not telling him, you dumbass, because they'll stop her from doing it, you know.
Yeah. It is, and it is like it's basic storytelling 101, that Dutch has to be the one to defeat the lady, not any other character on the show. So, you know, we're going to get that now.
I was going to say, are they out of green? Because I thought that the lady had procured a good amount from the different Hullen, but it looked like I was under the impression all they had was that little thing he stuck his hand in, and then she drank it. So are they out of it? Maybe we don't need to know that yet. I just was curious if you saw if they...
Yeah, I don't know. That's like it did look like she had like a bathtub full of the green, and then they only had this little. Maybe they scooped it out, and we didn't need to see all of it.
I don't know.
Maybe
she was going to bathe in it, and all she did was drank it.
I know. I think drinking it is probably not a good idea.
But that was
kind of
cool how they. But that was kind of cool how they did the reveal with the three symbols, because they showed earlier in the episode she had already seen the message from Anila. She just didn't understand what it meant until the symbols changed. So that was kind of cool.
Because these people in her family like to send signals that are so hard to understand.
Yeah.
You
well,
know?
She couldn't let
the lady.
Yeah, but that's why I think, too, like the fact that they, the boys, like erased their memory, or not erased, took out a piece of their memory of where his son was. Now, was that?
Yeah,
I thought that looked like, did they do that with the machine? Because that confused me, too. I'm like, I don't know how they did it. I guess it wasn't important how, but I don't know. This week,
it's not important to know how. I mean, that was another thing that I felt like. So there were a couple things that are not that original, which is fine. Like there are story points that work. And that's why people use them over and over in storytelling. And one of them is this idea that someone's got to stay behind and sacrifice themselves to blow up the ship is a constant thing that you see in many, most recently with Princess Leia in Star Wars, right? Princess Leia, Laura Dern in Star Wars, the recent Star Wars movie. Like, someone's got to pilot the ship on self-destruct mode.
I didn't see the most recent one yet, so.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, yeah, I'm like, wait a second, I didn't see that one yet.
Yeah, and
no,
also,
yeah,
also like wiping your memory, like it was like a reverse Hermione Granger move like wipe your memory of the son so no one can find out where he is. Which is also a very convenient way of like getting rid of that storyline for next season and not having to worry about where's the kid.
I know, because I was thinking that. I'm like, they got a way to get rid of the kid. You know, nothing gets him, but everybody knows how much I love kids on television shows. They found a way to get rid of that storyline, which I think was good. We don't have to deal with them for a while. Although I don't mind it so much if it means, like, I really liked Alcea, or at least have this season. I think that I really like her with the boys and that. So I think sometimes seeing him, if it means she's back, will be okay. And I
like Alcea, but I like her perfect
ally.
Yeah, I like her perfectly fine as like a political adversary, and
They don't have to cut her out altogether, but they'll, I'm sure, see her, and she's given help. So I'm sure they will. But
And they're not a friendly people. So, like, she's not a loving, you know. She says hugging is for poor people. So for her to send the kid away to like boarding school or something will be a perfectly believable excuse next season.
I was trying to think of what else I was gonna say, and I forgot what it was, but. It was a pretty good episode, and then, like I said, I think there's only one left. I'm pretty sure, so we'll find out. But
it looks like if they can just upload this little bit of plasma that Klein left into the green, they'll just, like, destroy all the hull, and it'll be over.
Or at least that part of the storyline, I guess. Well, since it's winding down with only one season, it could make sense. And I know what I was going to say, I remembered. They showed in the clip, Kevin's clip, I forget what they were saying, but something, I can't remember if it's to do with the machine world, but something to do with memories, and it showed a clip of Johnny remembering Potter or something, and I was thinking, I kind of wonder, because then it showed, I remember Davin was saying something like, this can't be real or something, and I was just thinking about it, I wonder if they could take somebody out of the green like Neela did. And just got me wondering, and I don't know necessarily that she even needs to come back. I just, when I saw that scene, I was thinking it'd be kind of interesting if he could, like, take that version of her out. Because he's sad right now.
I guess when I saw that scene, I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot that she was a character. I forgot that he was in love with her. Like, she was on the show. And, you know, it came up in terms of, like, someone was talking about, like, being in pain. He was like, I would never forgive you for the pain that I felt.
He said to Delcea, something like that.
But nonetheless, I hope, I forget what he said, but it was a reference to, like, how painful it was to lose her.
Yeah, but that he would help her or help her son or something.
Yeah.
I can't remember either.
Yeah, but
But I don't know, it's just he's sad, and I know he likes Lucy, but obviously Lucy's not real. Although I wouldn't mind if they made her human again by the end. Johnny needs somebody. That's all I'm thinking.
Well, he used to like that girl with one arm. Remember he likes that girl with one arm? With a fake arm?
Yeah, they can bring her back again, and they can get another actress again. It doesn't even matter, really. I wish they'd bring, I'm doing it again, I'm blanking out on the name. Stephanie. Back again. I liked better. I mean, not that that other actress wasn't good that played her
Stephanie
Leonidas.
Stephanie.
I liked when she played that character more. From Defiance.
Stephanie Leonidas. Oh, she was from what's it called, that other show? Yeah.
Defiance. Yeah.
She was from Defiance.
Liked when she played that. But I don't know. We'll have to see. But so like I said, that has one season left. So they're, I guess, wrapping it up. I don't know if they're almost done filming it. I know they're filming it now, but I don't know how much more they have left of the last season. Because I think they sort of filmed them.
Hannah, what's her name? She was in the most recent Ant-Man movie. She's in
Ghost. I noticed that. I never got a chance to see it
yet. She's in Ant-Man. So she may have a film career ahead of her.
in Marvel.
In Marvel.
Speaking of, are we done with this? I don't want to cut you off.
Yes, we are.
Speaking of Marvel, the new trailer for Captain Marvel dropped today. I was going to say, because obviously I don't know about a lot of the stories in that, but Captain Marvel used to be a guy, right?
No.
Yes. There's Captain Marvel and there was Miss Marvel, right?
Right, but she was somebody else that they decided it sounded like from what I was reading.
All right, AJ.
You know?
Tell us, AJ.
Yeah.
He's our comic expert
Captain
on
Marvel.
The show.
There's two Captain Marvels.
How can there be two Captain Marvels?
I thought
one's
she was
DC
like
and one's Marvel.
With Captain Marvel or something.
No.
Wait, one's DC and one's Marvel?
Yes.
Oh. Okay. There's a DC one called Marvel that I did not know.
Captain Marvel from DC is more commonly known as Shazam.
Oh. So which one dropped today?
Because that's the one that
Michael Jordan. DC or Marvel?
Isn't Michael Jordan going to be Shazam,
Marvel.
Or am I mixing that up with something else?
I don't
what?
Know.
No, not
Michael
Jordan. Who am I thinking of? No, not Michael
Jordan.
Obviously not Michael Jordan. I'm getting mixed up. But
Michael
they have been having on about who's going to be Shazam. Oh, no, wait. Shazam's the one with the guy from Chuck. Never mind. I'm totally mixing things up. Forget I said that.
Yeah.
I think I'm thinking of that movie that didn't actually exist with the whole thing with that X-File. I think with people remembering things but wrong that I saw about on television.
Yes, the Mandela effect.
That's what I'm thinking of. Yes,
yeah.
And that isn't even Michael Jordan either. Shaquille O'Neal
was in a movie called Kazam with a K, and he was a genius.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that was
so
who I meant, Shaquille O'Neal. I don't know why I called him Michael Jordan, but that was who I was thinking, which isn't even right. But yes, the guy from Chuck
Yes, the guy from Chuck, which I saw the preview for Shazam, and I'm very disappointed because I loved that show as a kid. And the movie looks like it's going to be ridiculous. But yes, in DC, the movie they're calling Shazam is actually Captain Marvel. He says Shazam to become Captain Marvel. And that's always been a very confusing thing, apparently, through the years.
And that
but
was always a male.
The Captain Marvel. The Captain Marvel that's going to be good is the Marvel movie, and it's a girl.
Okay. Because I had read something about she was – I don't know what they were talking about, though, then. I had read something about, from what I got out of it, like she was with Captain Marvel or something, like his assistant or something, and they – I thought it had made her Captain Marvel.
She's Captain Marvel. She is Captain Marvel.
Yeah, I don't know what
I
read.
Well –
And she comes
from space. She's human to start with.
Okay.
And then
she
gets the Captain Marvel
and she
powers.
Goes into space,
yeah.
And then she comes, yeah.
Yeah, well, the preview, the trailer looked good. I'll just say that. How's that? I also think the other one that I think is Marvel, too, isn't it? It's coming out that actually looked decent was Venom. That's Marvel, right? Or is that DC?
Yes, that's Venom. Yeah, I mean, that's Marvel,
Okay, that looked good, too. Although I thought it looked better before I realized it was what it was, but it still looks like it might be good.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, anyway.
I'm just waiting for Doctor Strange 2. That's all. Okay. Well, I think I haven't seen anything else. And like I said, I'm still behind on Walking Dead. I've been, I don't know, trying to catch up with everything. So I don't have anything else really to say. But always.
Well, you need to catch up because, like, this week, you know, stuff is starting to come together.
Yeah,
There's only two episodes left of Fear the Walking Dead. Yeah.
Is that for the season or for the mid-season? Because it's the mid-season, right?
For the season, I think. We're already up to, like, episode 8. Yeah.
The Walking Dead comes back
because Walking Dead
October.
Is coming.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the ending for the season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, guys. Well,
all right.
I will talk to you soon, then. Have
okay.
Good night.
All right.
Okay, bye.
Bye. She hung up. This actor that Jamie really likes got bit by a zombie on Fear the Walking Dead this week. So she'll be sad when she watches it.
Yeah.
Aaron Stansfield from 12 Monkeys.
Already?
Yeah,
he
he's only been on
cast?
For like 3 weeks. Yeah, he just joined the cast like 3 weeks ago. He got bit. And he plays this guy who, like, ever since the zombies came, he's been holed up in his brewery. And he never actually, like, he didn't know how to survive. He's never been outside. And he killed his first zombie, but it bit him before he could kill it. So he's going to die next week. He's a big whiner. He's a big baby whiner. But we'll talk about it some more when Jamie gets back next week.
So did you watch American Horror Story?
I did watch American Horror Story.
Okay. Let me ask you a question, though. I know you've seen Coven. Did you watch Murder House? You did suck through it, finally. Okay.
I watched not all of it. No, I watched part of it, and then it was too scary, and I stopped watching it.
Okay, I didn't know if you, read Cliff Notes.
I did not complete Murder House. No. No.
Okay.
And so I really didn't – so let me just say, I really didn't understand how this is Murder House meets Coven because, like, nobody from Coven is in it. I mean, you know, Sarah Paulson's in it, but it's not about witches, and it's not about whatever was going on in Murder House so far, right?
Okay.
And none
of let me give you the important part of Murder House that you missed.
Okay.
Vivian, the mom, she
Yes, Connie Britton.
Yes, Connie Britton. All right, you saw the Halloween episode, so you know about the gimp suit.
Yes.
Okay, so.
And she, yes.
Connie Britton, Vivian, she's in bed one night or morning, I forget what it was, and at the foot of the bed is the ghost of the gimp suit. She thinks that it's her husband getting kinky, so she's like, yeah, let's get it on. And she's already pregnant from her husband. Turns out the gimp suit was actually Tate in the gimp suit.
Okay.
Tate was Evan Peters.
Mm-hmm.
So because he's a ghost and it's American Horror Story, apparently you can get pregnant simultaneously from a human and a ghost. So the finale.
So she had two babies?
She had two babies. The first baby was stillborn, which was her husband. The second baby, which they named Michael, she died during giving birth to that child.
Okay.
And somebody, what's her name? Sarah Paulson's character, the psychic, predicted that Vivian was going to give birth to the Antichrist.
Mm-hmm.
Now, everybody from Murder House died. Violet committed suicide. Vivian died during childbirth. And the husband, whose name is failing me, was killed by the ghost of Hayden, who was the chick he was sleeping with. That was the patient that he was having the affair with.
Yep, yeah.
You remember that? I don't know.
Yes.
He killed her, buried her in the backyard, and then built the gazebo over her. And her ghost killed him. So everybody died in the Murder House. Okay?
Okay,
Lang's character, Constance, took the baby and adopted him. So Michael Langdon that you see at the end of Apocalypse that shows up who thinks he's Prince Lestat. He is the baby who was predicted to be the Antichrist. That's who that guy was at the
end
of.
And how do you know that? Just because when he gives his name. You knew him because he gave his name.
Yes. That's
because
that
you
is.
Never saw that. You and never saw the kid grown up and that actor play him.
Right. Right. Exactly. So that is the history that you need to know to see. All right, well, now we at least have the Murder House portion of how it's connected because of him.
Okay,
I mean,
so a major thing that I need to know,
yes, go ahead.
The major takeaway from Murder House is that this guy who just showed up is allegedly the Antichrist. This guy who's like, I'm going to decide who lives and I'm from the collective and blah, blah, blah. He is probably, or according to the psychic, is the Antichrist.
Yes.
Okay. Gotcha. That's a huge piece of information. Yes.
That was actually something else. We see a couple, I forget how many years later, I forget how old he was. He was like 4 or 5. We see him with Constance and he murdered his nanny. at like 4 or 5 years
my.
old.
Oh my, just like Damien. Yeah.
Yeah. And that was how Murder House actually ended. So.
Okay.
Yeah. So Apocalypse. Now my theory is that at some point, some way, somehow, eventually, the witches are going to learn about all this, and they're going to get together. You know, everybody's going to get together and try and stop them. That's the only way I see this. You know, obviously being a crossover. But anyway, as far as Apocalypse itself.
Yeah. So right. So we saw no connection to Coven so far in this episode, as far as I could tell.
We've seen no previous characters at all yet.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So as far as the episode itself, what do you think? What did you like? What did you hate?
I think it was very slow. I mean, I know it's the first episode and it's setting stuff up and everything, but everything was very slow. There was something about Kathy Bates' character that I just loved. I don't remember the character's name at the moment.
Oh, yeah, me too.
But she was, I don't know, there was just something about her that was very alluring. Like, she was just, she was very stoic in that outfit that she had. I don't know, there was something about her that I was just intrigued by her. And I know it's Kathy Bates, so she's going to have a medium to large part throughout all this. But I don't know, there was just something about that character that I really enjoyed. Sarah Paulson's character, who leads, is in charge of this outpost, Outpost 3, which apparently is the only remaining outpost because all the others have been overrun. She's basically making up her rules as she sees fit, because she feels like none of it's going to matter because she feels the collective is going to get wiped out and it's not going to matter, of course, until Michael shows up at the end and she's kind of like, oh crap. And they have the different colors, which is the grays that are the servants and the purples that are going to reprocreate the world, the planet eventually. And her and Kathy Bates' character, when they put on their purple dresses, which they're not supposed to be wearing because they're not purples, they're whatever they are. I got a kick out of that scene. I thought that was funny. They kill people. They basically are deciding who lives and dies at the moment because they kill that one poor guy just for the hell of it because they're running out of food and made a stew out of stew.
Yeah, and I don't think they're really running out of food. I think they – so a big part of what's going on is that Mrs. Venable and Mrs. Mead is Kathy Bates' name, right? Venable and Mead, like, they have that conversation about how much fun it is torturing the guests. And they tortured, what is Evan Peters' character's name? Mr. Gallant and Stu, and then killed Stu just really for their own personal entertainment, right? Like, I think they were drinking wine, it looked like. Like, I think they have food. They just make these people
yeah.
skeleton because they're being jerks, right?
Yeah. Oh, I don't know how much food they necessarily have, but definitely because they're being jerks. And what was your reaction when you saw Joan Collins? I forgot she was in it.
I forgot she was going to be in it also until I saw her. And most of the actors are playing multiple characters. And Joan Collins is going to play, she has said that she's going to play 3 or 4 characters. I think she's hilarious.
Oh,
I mean, right now, many, many of the characters are, Sarah Paulson is playing 3 characters. Evan Peters is playing 2 characters because some of them are playing their old characters, right? And their new,
right.
some of their old
yes.
characters are like ghosts and shit, so they can come back. I mean, I think she's really hilarious, and I think good for her. Like, she's a legend, and, you know, she's just like sort of camping it up and having a good time. You can tell. I think she was great. In the role.
Yeah,
I gotta say
when I saw her, I being an 80s star, I'm sure she has plastic all over her. But I was impressed with how good she looked. I was kind of surprised. I was like, wow, she doesn't look bad actually.
No, she looks good.
And it was pretty funny actually because I was like, oh wow, that's right, Joan Collins. And Alyssa's like, who's that? And I was like, I don't even know how to explain her to you because I know Alyssa's never seen anything that she's ever been in. So
Right.
I was like, she was part of the glitz and glam of the 80s. That's all I can really tell you.
Yeah. Well, she's from Dynasty, right? The original Dynasty.
Right. Of course. Yep. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, not a lot. I mean, there's. I didn't understand at the end, though, when he told her to take care of the horses and she shoots them and pushes them off the cliff.
Oh. Well, because
like,
the horses have been outside and they've been. Did you see one of them had like a giant, disgusting sore on its head? Like, the horses have to be shot for mercy because they've been like. They've been getting radiation poisoning. But. Well, they throw them off the cliff, and then you see someone or something grabs the horse and pulls it into the bushes.
Yeah. Yeah,
to, like,
which is whatever they were talking about. It's out there. Right.
Yeah.
Whatever the creature is they were talking about. But my question is, if they're going to go leave the outpost and go somewhere else, where – how are they getting there? Unless there's vehicles there that I'm unaware of. I mean, the two kids, the two 20-somethingers were brought there – in a vehicle, obviously. So maybe they have a garage somewhere and they have more vehicles. But at first I was like, wait a minute, how are they gonna get out of there? speaking about the two newcomers that are the man and the woman there, well, the girl and the boy, whatever you want to call them, they were tested and they have special DNA that's going to be very useful for the
repopulation of the world or whatever.
And that's the other thing. There's no copulation. They're not, you know, nobody's supposed to touch each other. They're not supposed to have sex, but so they steal kisses because they've already grown feelings for each other, apparently. And they steal kisses, like one kisses a day, so they don't get carried away, which I thought was kind of funny. But here's my question.
Funny.
And I didn't even notice it at first, and I don't know if maybe you noticed it. You probably not, but. The next episode, pay attention to the kid, the boy, because Alyssa's like, he looks familiar. And I'm like, I don't know. I've never seen him in anything. And she's like, he looks like a young David Duchovny. And as soon as she said that, I looked at him and I was like, holy shit, he really does look like a young David Duchovny.
You think
so? When you watch the next episode, look at him and tell me what you think. We should ask Jamie, to, even though she doesn't watch it, just to look at him and see what she thinks.
Yeah.
But yeah, he kind of looks like young David Duchovny.
His name is Kyle Allen, the actor's name, and because I happen to have a thing open right now. And this is his first year on the show, of course, and he's been in a bunch of stuff I've not heard of, right? The Path, One Night, XX. His credits are not things that I have. The Path is a TV series that I haven't watched. He was in a show called, he's young, and so he has a short list of credits. I don't know how old he is, but he's obviously a very young, he plays a teenager, he's a young man. So I'll take a look at him and see, and now I'm looking at a picture of him to see if I think he's young. I guess I see Duchovny be around the eyes. Anyway, it was interesting that at this point he appears to be like the main character, right? Now, of course, like as it opens, Timothy and Emily appear to be the main characters. They're taken from their families. We're sort of seeing things through their experience, right? But I mean, they're probably not the main characters. All these other actors, the main characters. I really enjoyed how they like dispensed with the world ends in the first 5 minutes. And they sort of dispensed with the whole, like, we don't get to know why the world is blowing up, who did it, what's going on. I mean, it is alluded to later when either Kathy Bates or Sarah Paulson is talking about the collective and says something about, it's when the kids first arrive and Venable says, like, something about the bombs being cleansing. And the way she phrased it, I got the impression that maybe the collective was behind the bombs. Like, maybe the collective, like, set all this up and blew up the world to wipe out everyone they decided not to save, right? Like, I don't know if you got that impression also, but I don't know. Just sort of the way she said it, I got that feeling. But I kind of appreciated how they got rid of it. And the whole apocalypse was kind of very jokey. Like, all the people trying to survive were very, like, Coco and Mr. Gallant are ridiculous characters.
Awesome.
Yeah. And the whole thing was a little, you know, silly. But I kind of like that. That's all done. The apocalypse is over. Don't worry about what happened or how, because what the show is about is what happens next.
Yep.
And so I enjoyed that they did it that way. But, yeah, it was not – it's not very scary yet. It's not even all that creepy yet. But it's also – I feel like the characters are not appropriately – like, I guess they're freaked out, but, like, yeah, there's no electricity. There's candles, and they dress like they're out of some sort of Victorian novel, and they have to wear purple. And the whole thing is a little, you know, silly. Like – certainly you would believe, like, I'd worry that I've been taken in by a cult, right?
Yeah, and it's funny, too, because Timothy, he even says, he's like, you guys prepared for this and you're using candles. It's almost like Timothy is the audience at the moment.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And Ryan Murphy's always been really great with that. You know, having that one character that questions the ridiculous things so that they can give the answer to the ridiculous things so we buy into it.
Yeah. And Sarah Paulson says, oh, it's technology that destroyed the world and we're going to return to something simpler.
Yeah.
And yeah, but they it's very kind of interesting and suspicious that they're not actually doing anything to prepare for life after. Right, they just stay underground and like they don't really do anything. They don't watch TV, like they don't watch movies, they don't read books, they don't appear to really do anything except
they
wait.
The same song over and over again.
Oh,
good,
it's all very.
It's a different song. It's a different song. The collective, they're coming for us. They're coming, yay! And then like three or four, however long later, they're like, oh my
18
god.
18 months later.
They just changed the song. Is that what it was? I don't remember. You know. But the first song that was playing, I noticed, I don't know if it has anything to do with anything, but it was about an alien invasion. The first song.
Oh, yeah?
It was about aliens. So, and knowing that we've had aliens before on this show, I doubt it has anything to do with it. Maybe it's just one of those quirky little AHS things they throw in there as a nod to something else. You know what I got to say about this season, though, that I'm a little surprised that we're getting this season already, because Ryan Murphy has said that the final season, he already knows what the final season's going to be, and the final season will connect all the seasons together. So I'm kind of surprised, because this, to me, feels like it could be that type of thing, you know what I mean, where this is that type of thing that could connect everything, that all everything that's come before has something to do with, you know, with the apocalypse, you know what I mean? So I'm kind of surprised again this season. Obviously, this isn't the season that's going to connect everything because this is not the last season, but it's got a feel to it. Like, I wouldn't be surprised. I know it's the Murder House Coven crossover, but I wouldn't be surprised to see other little things or characters from other seasons kind of be, you know, things that we, you know, as AHS fans that we'd pick up on from previous seasons type of things, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there could be, you know, you do have these characters crossing over and they have played now so many different versions of themselves, you know, and there have been other links.
Oh, and you know what? Go ahead.
I was going to say, because Gabori Sidibe is supposed to be in this episode, in this season. And she was in Coven, and then she died in Hotel, right? Didn't she die in the hotel?
Yes. Yep.
Oh, no. Yeah. So.
Yeah. There's a couple characters that are dead from their last appearance that are coming back, like Madison. Madison died at the end of Coven, but apparently she's coming back. So the only thing I can think of is because this threat is the threat is so grave that Cordelia, was that? Sarah Paulson, the new Supreme Cordelia, right?
Who became the Supreme,
And
she's gonna play her in this.
Maybe she's gonna yes, I know she is, but that's what I'm saying. Maybe she's gonna resurrect all the past witches.
Oh yeah.
Because they're gonna need everyone. They're gonna need all of them.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, we'll have to wait and see. But something I read the other day after the premiere of the episode was the definitive timeline of American Horror Story. And it was laid out, like, you know, the earliest year, which was like 18-something. And then it, you know, progressively, you know, it went by year and it, like, said, you know, each year it showed, it stated certain things that, you know, happened that we saw in American Horror Story. And I got to say, seeing it laid out like that was really quite interesting, and to put together how much everything really overlaps. I mean, I got to say, Ryan Murphy is brilliant with this because the attention to detail that he has put into this, you know, and then seeing mm-hmm. all these different seasons put side by side with what happened when, it was really cool to read it and see it. And, you know, see what things were happening at the same time as something else that was happening, you know, like seeing something that was happening the same time as Kit coming back from the asylum and finding Alma back with a baby, you know, and then seeing something that happened in Freak Show that was happening simultaneously, you know, that same year, you know what I mean? Like seeing stuff yeah. like that I thought was pretty cool. So.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Well, that, I mean, that's a theory that's out there that this guy, that, you know, the Antichrist, whoever, could be looking for kids from Asylum. And, you know, and he has, like, when they show his little kids, his son is white and his daughter is black, right? And they'd be, biracial, rather, I mean to say.
Yeah,
and so she has darker skin than her brother does, and like,
yeah,
could they be the two kids now that were taken?
They can't be.
Well, I don't know.
This is 50 years later.
Is it 50 years later?
This takes place in 2020 or 2019 at the very least. I know this takes
okay.
place in the future. Like a few, I know it's
all right,
in
and
2020.
Asylum took. Asylum was like a 60s kind of thing, right? 70s.
Late 60s, early 70s, yeah. Now,
yes.
It could be their grandkids. It could be his grandkids, maybe. That's
yeah.
possible.
But, you know, also since, like, a lot of
theory.
These people are, yeah, they could be the grandchildren. That's a good theory, right?
Yeah.
Or there could be, if they are the children of like aliens and antichrists and angels and things like that, then maybe they can appear
right.
wherever. I don't know. I don't know. It's just an interesting theory.
That is an interesting theory. Cause, I mean, yeah. Asylum, his kids were, the aliens were kind of seen, at least I always took it as kind of the good guys actually. You know,
mm-hmm.
because we had Satan possessing Mary's sister, Mary Eunice.
Mm-hmm.
So you got the devil possessing her, and you know, you have to have your yin and your yang. So I always saw the aliens as being good, you know, maybe not God necessarily, but at least on the side of good, or maybe the aliens were angels,
yeah.
you know, going with this whole Antichrist thing. So I could see him, even though it's the coven Murder House crossover, I could totally see them throwing that in there as a little curveball.
Yeah. I mean, they also could be, yeah,
really
they also
theory.
Could be the witnesses, these two, right? Like the witnesses, like, you know, we saw the witnesses in, what's that? Yeah, but the witnesses are
Sleepy
a real
Hollow.
Thing in the Bible, right?
Yes,
like
yes.
Sleepy Hollow didn't make them up. They're real things in the Bible. And so if this is about the Antichrist, then it would make sense that you would write the witnesses into your story about the end, about the, you know, the apocalypse and the Antichrist and all that.
That
like
sense.
You might write them in.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yep.
Or they could be
good
like
theory,
like red shirts and they could be red shirts and be dead in two more episodes.
This is true too.
You never know.
We've already had a couple familiar looking faces already bite the dust. So.
Yeah.
Coco's husband. I'll be there in 10 minutes. I'm sorry, honey. I absolve you. You can be with. You're free to be with anybody else now. He's like, I'm a bitch.
In the next 10 minutes before you die.
Yeah.
Although he was never going to make it anyway, that poor guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
and
well, we're going to have to wait and see.
I feel bad for poor Mallory. She's like, why am I a Gray? Why couldn't they one of them be a Gray? Her Coco's assistant. And Coco's like, because you said he wouldn't touch my hair. And then you see her hair later, and it's a poof. So it's like, I guess he hasn't touched it in a while.
Yeah, I think I loved how her hair was getting crazier and crazier each time we saw her.
Yeah.
I think the gray thing is another like thing that Sarah Paulson made up to mess with the people inside there. And like maybe there aren't any
actually seems to make sense. That kind of makes sense because you always need the worker bees, you know? Because if everybody was a purple, who's gonna do anything?
Well, if I was truly going to organize people to survive underground for 2 years during nuclear winter, I would have everyone have a job and everyone pitches in, not just some people sit around in gowns and other people serve them, right?
Right, which is exactly why it is set up the way it is, because they're the rich people that are the purples and the special.
Yeah, well, they
like,
shouldn't be. I mean, but nobody would really set it up that way. Like, you would set it up for people to, you're going to take your $100 million and you're going to pull your weight.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what, rational people do in the real world, on TV. It's different.
Yeah.
And then, who knows? Rich people, all right, hold on. I know I'm going to get blasted for this one, but let me throw this out there. Our president, Mr. Trump, do you think he would pull his weight, or do you think he would set up the Grays?
No. He would, but I'm just thinking that it's another thing that Sarah Paulson is doing that's outside the rules of the collective, that she's a renegade and she's not following any of the rules at all. And I just think it's another thing that she has set up to mess with people. But we'll see.
One more reason to disagree with you that I just thought of, because I don't think that's the case, simply because her and Kathy Bates, Venable and wherever Kathy Bates is, they were doing the whole purple thing in secret.
Yes.
So I think they were doing it in secret because they get in trouble if they're seen like that, because they're not purples.
They're not purples.
They're
workers. Yeah. They're the wardens.
So I think that's...
Or whatever they were, yeah.
I think that's...
All right.
Well, but anyway, we'll see.
We'll see. Yeah.
All right.
All right.
So without further ado... The finale of Castle Rock. How'd you feel, Karen?
So, boy, your wife really hated it, huh?
Yes, she did.
I know she's a woman of strong opinions on things like this.
She hated it so much she yelled at me like I wrote the episode. We got the last moment, and she's like, well, that was a complete waste of time. I'm like, well, not a complete waste of time. And then she started yelling at me, telling me why it was a waste. I'm like, all right, well, first of all, stop yelling at me. I didn't write it.
Yeah.
But what did you think?
You know, I think it was a bit of a letdown after what they had built up, particularly, like, I don't know why they – So I think it was a little bit of a letdown in light of some of the things we saw, particularly last week, and we can get into that more later. I think it left a lot of loose ends hanging that are a little bit frustrating, but I think it was a kind of a good ending in the way it left all the characters, like, who are really still, like, nothing got better in a lot of ways, and they're still stuck and unhappy people. As much as this show was about the cycle of violence repeating itself and people being caught literally in loops, the way like Sissy Spacek was like reliving loops and stuff, and the way like Henry's childhood could never shake Castle Rock kind of thing, right? So I thought that kind of made sense. Like thematically and mood wise, it was okay, but it was not. They didn't stick the landing.
I completely agree with that. I gotta say, when my first instinct was, I made a joke saying it's Abrams. Why did you think you'd get answers? That was my initial response.
Yeah, good point.
But I also we finished it watching it, and I literally had to like get in the car and go to work. So I didn't really have a lot of time to process it. But the entire drive to work, and for like the first hour I'm at work, I'm playing it over in my head, and I'm thinking about it, and I'm, you know, I'm just trying to make sense of everything. And then once I start getting my head around everything, I'm like, you know, I know what they tried to do. The writers tried to be ambiguous. It's clearly intentional. They're being ambiguous. Then I started thinking about it. I'm like, it's okay if they wanted to be ambiguous, but they didn't give us enough to do it the right way. We lose the entire whatever it takes after Henry Prime gets the gun, and we see that little flash of the old wrinkled blue guy. We don't know if that flash is because of the Finny, if he's really a demon. We don't see any of that. It cuts away, it comes back, and it's, 18 months later? That doesn't, you know, we lose everything. And as he's walking towards the prison, which is closed down, I looked at Alyssa and I said, he's got him locked back up. And she was already at that point.
Yeah.
And he did. And then he goes downstairs and they have their little conversation. And he makes that snarky comment about, he says something about Lacey, and he's like, and had that work out for him. And then they go through the bars. I love the camera work they did with it, because they show his face.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, the bars are small, thin, but the way they angled the camera, you lose his face and you see him again, then you lose his face and you see him again. Well, that whole time they're doing that, I'm waiting for one of two things to happen. And the second thing, if it happened, I would have been pissed. But the first thing I'm expecting is I'm waiting to see the old blue guy again, and it doesn't happen. But then he has that little smirk at the end, and I'm like, why is he smirking? You know?
I mean,
and it's like,
he's smirking because he's really a demon. He's really the devil, maybe, is why he smirks, right? I mean, they tried to leave it up in the air.
But that's the problem. We don't know, and we weren't given enough to make a decision. I mean, they kind of left it with choose your own adventure, but I don't feel I have enough information to even make a guess one way or the other. But the other thing I was waiting for, and what would have pissed me off, is I was waiting for him to turn into Pennywise, because he played It in the new movie.
Yeah.
And the cycle of it is every 27 years, which this show has been throwing down our throats, that it's 27 years that he's been there, and we know it's been approximately 27 years that Henry Prime was on the other side. And I'm thinking to myself, if he turns into Pennywise, I'm going to be so pissed off, because that's going to be, and it didn't, which was good in that aspect, but the rest of it, I feel like the writers, you know, like I said, they tried to be ambiguous, I think they tried to be bold, and they missed, they weren't even in the area of the landing. They tried to pull a Lost or a Sopranos, you know, they tried to do something different, and it failed miserably. Everything up to the moment it cuts away and gives us 18 from 18 months later on, it was awful. I there was nothing I can take away from it that I liked about it. You know, I thought it was interesting that Henry basically became his father or Lacey, depending on how you look at it. You know, we don't know if he finally heard something out there. And that was the other thing, his son. His son was really in tune with the schisma. And I thought that when they got out of prison, I thought that his son and Molly were going to meet them at the woods, and his son was going to lead them to the schisma. And they just did nothing with his son. Molly took him back to Boston, and she moved to Florida to be with her grandmother. And apparently has a really, she's the only got a happy ending, because she's like the number one real estate agent in the Keys. I mean, all this buildup and all this stuff they put in place, and then it was like in those last 5 minutes, they were like, okay, we're just going to set off a bomb and blow up our own show because none of it came to fruition at all.
Well, I do really have to agree with you on the whole thing with Henry Flood. I really have to agree with you on that because why did they explore that? I mean, really, the schisma was sort of like a side story that we don't really almost meet. I don't know. Like, yeah, why did they have the son even in the show to not play a role in the end or for Henry to really be overly concerned about it? So that was definitely frustrating to have that hanging out there. I also am a little frustrated that they, you know, I thought it was a really strong episode last week when we saw the other Henry Deaver's life on the other side. And they open up this whole possibility that he's not a demon and he's actually like, a good guy, an innocent guy, and then to just have that completely undermined this week and thrown out, really, and not, I think actually it almost would have been more effective to have him, to have Alt Henry tell that story but not show it to us. Because I saw it so vividly and perfectly, I felt like it was real, not like it's a story that Henry is telling that I might or might not believe. I guess because I saw it with my own eyes, I put more stock in it than I should have.
And I agree with that. I agree with that 100% because I did the same thing. I thought, I'm like, but we see him, and then I went, wait a minute. As soon as I said that, I said to myself, we see him in the other side, and I went, wait, we didn't see him on the other side. He's telling Molly the story.
Yeah.
So
of being on the other side.
He's an unreliable narrator.
Yes.
And that's when there was some things. There were certain things like here's one. But see this, and here's where the problem comes in. Is little now I start picking apart little things. Lacey tells him, ask for Henry Deaver. Okay. Says ask for Henry Deaver.
Yeah.
When Alt Henry comes out, he asks for Henry Matthew Deaver.
Yes.
Not what Lacey told him. So if he's not, or if he is alternate Henry, that would explain how he knows the middle name. If he's not alternate Henry, and he's a, but is he, it can be both because a demon would know those things. Because too many inconsistencies with what the finale gave us, because why, if Ruth is his mother, although this is an alternate version, why is he tormenting her the way he did? You know? Like, things started to make sense, he's remembering this and that and everything. But now, looking at it with what we were given, it feels more like he was, we felt like at first that he was tormenting her. Then we go, okay, he's getting his memories back that he's the alternate, he's from an alternate universe. So he wasn't tormenting her. She just got scared and took it that way because of what she was seeing. But now I look back at it again and think, but wait, why is he doing these things though? What is his goal? Why, why is he telling her these things? What's his goal? We don't know what his goal is there because now that we know that they gave us an ambiguous ending, a lot of the other things that kind of sort of made sense before are now also ambiguous because we don't have that ending. So I don't know what the writer's plan was. I don't know how much input, if King was just, just an executive producer throwing money at it. I don't know how he feels about the ending or how much input Abrams actually has opposed to the writers. Yeah. And that's the other thing. Stephen King's stories generally don't have a happy ending. They have a mediocre ending usually. I mean, like, you have an ensemble cast of characters and, say you have 20 people and 5 survive. So that's a happy ending somewhat. It's a mediocre ending because at least 5 of them survived,
Yeah.
And they're going to live to tell the tale, at least somebody survived, then we get King stories where nobody survives. Then we have King stories where everybody survives, like in It. One of the kids, actually, not everybody survives in It. So never mind. But, we have
I think
always have a definitive answer that needs that.
So, I mean, as to why he would do that, that was an issue for both of us last week when we talked about the, you know, in the last 2 weeks, I guess, since that episode happened. I guess if you're the devil, then your motivation is just to sow evil and be a jerk to people and make people unhappy.
Right.
So maybe he would just mess with Ruth because he's the devil. But it kind of – one thing that's a hole for me is if he is – I mean, people repeatedly refer to him as like – Lacey's like, you're the devil. Pangborn's like, he said he was the devil. I believed him. You know, he's positioned as the devil. And it's interesting to me that the devil has the power to, like, you know, he can make these guys get in a huge fight and kill everyone. And he, like, sows all this, like, evil in the town, and yet he's stuck for 27 years and can't get out of that cage. And like, why can't he compel,
right.
why can't he compel Lacey to let him out, right? Or
that's the other thing. When the two Henrys are in the cell together and they bring all the transfer prisoners in, you can't tell me that he didn't start that. The way he's staring
yeah.
at them and just kind of,
yeah.
I mean, he started that whole thing. So
yeah, I mean, it was supposed to be all season ambiguous. Like,
well, that's the problem. I mean, if he's Alt Henry, how does he have those powers? If he's a demon, obviously that's how he has, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I mean, if he's Alt Henry.
Too many. Go ahead.
I mean, one possibility is if he's Alt Henry and bad things just happen because he's not supposed to be there and the presence of two Henrys is making people
right.
violent. But in that scene, it does appear that he instigates that, right? And
yeah.
makes that happen. Also,
absolutely.
It's interesting to me that Alt Henry is so – Alt Henry, Evil Henry, whatever he is, he's desperate to get to the woods and get out of there – but he has time to stop by the warden's house and leave a soap figurine there to torment her with. Now, I understand why, no matter whether he's Alt or whoever he is, I understand why Henry would be very angry at the warden who didn't know that he was being kept in there for 27 years underground, right? Like, he definitely has a bone to pick with the warden, the new warden. But because she's worked for the company. I know she's new, but she's worked for that company, right? I understand that. But
well,
it's interesting to me that he found the time to go over there and leave the soap figurine to mess with her.
Right.
That felt
well,
like...
Also, it makes her walk in front of the bus, which actually
yeah.
ultimately... Well, see, and think of it this way, too, though. These pieces, he actually orchestrated this entire thing in a way, you know? Like... That was the thing. We were like, you know, if he's the Alt Henry, he likes, what's his face? Alan. At least he likes
yeah.
the other Alan, you know? But
yeah.
But Prime, our Alan, leaves him in the trunk, and he's going to get revenge
yeah.
on everybody that put him in that cage, which ultimately
yeah.
he did, I guess. You know?
I guess he did,
going,
ultimately, yeah.
You know, Ruth kills Alan, Lacey kills himself. Even though the warden wasn't really responsible for him being in the cage, but when they got him out, she didn't let him out either. She put him in another cage, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But here's
yeah.
the thing. So he makes that he makes the soap sculpture of her, leaves it for her. She takes it, goes to Molly, and is like, hey, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden she, like, touches it again, and she's, like, zombified and walks out in front of the prison bus. Now, the prison bus hits her. All the prisoners on that bus now have to be taken to Castle Rock jail where they're put into that cell
yeah.
where he creates a riot for him and Henry to escape.
It's a bit circular.
So it's like he kind of orchestrates the whole thing. But because of that ambiguity, I mean, is that demon second, is that 1 second, that split second that we see the demon face, is that supposed to be them telling us as the audience, he's a demon? Is that what that moment is supposed to do? Is that why?
I don't know.
We're supposed to take that one moment. But here's the problem with that moment. Because they are at the heart of the Finny. Which, oh, that was something else I wanted to bring up to you because it was confusing
yeah.
last week. All right. Well, actually, since I already brought it up. The Finny is what they call – last week, maybe I misunderstood you or you misspoke. I don't know which it was. But
yeah, when I asked you about needful things. Or
well, no,
I asked you about
dark,
the Dark Tower.
I
asked you about the Dark Tower, yeah.
See, okay, then I misunderstood you. I heard in my whatever, I thought you said something about the dark half.
Oh,
but
no.
When after we had our conversation, I started thinking about the dark tower, and I was like, oh, I wonder if she said dark tower, which makes perfect sense. Because when Roland switches between worlds, he always called that the weirdness in between, which is what we basically saw. He always called it the thinny. And that was kind of what we saw in the episode where they cross over. And there is a key point there, you know, in the woods there. They're in that, you know, so is that a moment where the thinny kind of comes into play and that's why we see him like that? Or are we supposed to believe that he's a demon and that's what they're showing us for that split second? But they're so ambiguous with everything. We don't
know.
Well,
I consider it a third option, though.
What's the third option?
So at the moment I watched it, right, when we see the old blue guy, I thought, okay, is he really a demon and Henry's seeing his true face? And so I didn't really consider, although you say, could it be like he's seeing someone else almost coming through the thinny? I thought, like, is Henry, like, seeing that? Like, not that Henry hallucinated it, but that Henry thought he saw that. Henry needs to see that to justify what he's going to do to not help this.
Right.
Like, Henry's so committed, and he's like, this guy might be the devil. I can't help him. You know, there was a whole bit about reasonable doubt in the beginning, which I thought was really important because Henry has a reasonable doubt, so he can't help the kid. And I just thought, like, is Henry an unreliable narrator of this scene? And he's seeing what he wants to see or what he needs to see to justify his actions that he's decided to take.
Mm-hmm.
And did, like...
I know, and that's the problem.
And that's why I was kind of waiting to see it in the last scene when they show him between the bars in the final scene, and you and I are both waiting to see the old blue guy's face. And part of the reason I was waiting to see old blue guy because I was like, all right, this will tell me whether or not Henry even really saw that.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I might be the only person who thought that when I saw it, in which case I'm totally wrong. But
no, that's a good thought. And you know what the funny thing is? That maybe that's the smirk. I just had a thought about the smirk at the end. That the smirk was actually the writers going ha 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 ha. We'll never tell.
Yeah.
I think at some point
there's
you know,
so
the
many
writers or Abrams. Somebody's going to have to come out and say, okay, we screwed up. This is what you were supposed to understand from that. You know, I don't know if it'll happen, but I'm hoping that it does.
Well, because sometimes writers write stuff that they think is really obvious, and it shocks them when nobody gets it.
Right.
Right. Like.
Oh, and something else we haven't talked about that we learned definitively. Henry really did push his father off the ledge.
Yeah.
He told him that when we get home, I'm going to kill your mother. So.
Yeah, I mean, he had a good reason, and he did, like, he had a good reason. Not that that reason would necessarily hold up in court, but he was a kid, and he believed his father was going to kill his mother, and I believe his father was going to kill his mother because he was a psycho.
Oh, I do too.
And
he
did what he had to do to protect his mother. And I get that, and yet I kind of really, you know, when we have the voiceover at the end and Henry saying something like, you know, maybe you always were a monster all along, and he's, like, kind of talking about himself, right? Like, he killed his own father, talking about the evil in the town and the monsters in town, and it turns out people were right about him all. Now, granted, that sheriff and many people in town are huge racists and jerks, but they were right about him when they assumed that he had killed, you know... So maybe Molly, like, is the one who pulled the plug or who pulled the oxygen off of him. But Henry, like, I was kind of surprised by that scene. I had never really – I had always assumed that it was people's, like, racism and jerkiness, not that he had actually killed his father. Were you surprised?
No, not – so. Well, I mean, when he did it, I was like, you know, because – You see Henry there, and then you see his dad there, and he's looking over the edge and everything, and then you see Henry push him. I was like, okay, we have the answer to that at least. I was like, Henry really did do it. But I immediately was like, but I get it, because he flat out said that I'm going to kill your mother when I get home.
I mean, we definitely got a more and more sinister and evil picture of the father as the season went on. right? I mean, the father was.
Yeah.
I mean,
oh, yeah.
Talk about a person
well,
who's
I
evil,
had,
right?
I had a pretty strong feeling about the father after, like, episode 2 or 3.
Yeah. Yeah, he was an abusive.
I had the feeling that he was not a good guy. And, of course, yeah,
yeah.
Like you said, by the end, we knew what he really was, so.
Yeah. A lot of wasted opportunities and people, like the whole, like we said, the whole thing with the son, the whole explanation with those two, what's that guy's name? Ovid Odin, the guy who was living in the trailer, in the RV in the woods, who locks Henry in the soundproof room and is teaching him all about the sound. Like,
yeah.
They went so into the sound and the noise, and it never really goes anywhere in the end, right? And then the Culkin brother, which Culkin? Kieran Culkin gets killed at the end. And who killed, like, did the kid kill Odin? Did Culkin kill? Like, who killed that guy and why?
I think that he ended up, I think, you know, the schism was at its strongest right now. And
yes.
I think that I don't know how you open it or how you go through it or whatever, because they were vague about that. I mean, clearly it's got to be a person of somebody that can hear it, I guess, or somebody that's an empath, you know, like Molly. I think there's got to be something special. And that guy made himself deaf so that he could be perfect and hear the schism always.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think since the schism was at its strongest, I think he got killed by one of the ghosts of Castle Rock, because in the scene when we see Alt Henry, Molly, and Henry Prime, when we see them in the city, one of the ghosts shoots an arrow at
kills
him.
Alt Molly.
And
well,
not the knife that killed her. But there was at one point when they were running or seeing the difference, there was an arrow with one of them. And
all right.
They didn't give us a close-up of him. To me, from the distance when Wendell was looking at him, it looked like he was laying on the ground with an arrow sticking out of his eye. That's what it looked like to me.
Yes, they re-showed that on the previously this week, and it was clear. Yes, he was shot through the eye. Do you think the arrow got him?
Yeah.
The arrow person got him.
I think one of the ghosts of Castle Rock got him.
Yeah.
So.
Huh.
So anything else about the episode?
Yes, I would like to say that once again, the hands down the best scene in the whole episode, Sissy Spacek on the bridge and post bridge with Melanie Lynskey. Every scene Sissy has been in this entire season she's been amazing. I hope she gets nominated for an Emmy next year, and I think Melanie Lynskey has done great work also. And I thought that scene was great between them. And another thing that's really not explored well enough, I mean, actually it's explored a lot, but it doesn't really go anywhere, is Sissy Spacek, her memory lapses versus her traveling. Like she gives she says on that bridge a lot of stuff about how, I've been here before. You always say the same thing. This happens every time. Wow. You never said that before. Yeah, actually, like, you never said that before.
Yeah.
And it's just so, I feel like there's so much more about what's going on with her that now she's dead, and so we're not going to get to really know what's up with that. I would watch a whole show just about the Sissy Spacek Alzheimer's versus, like,
like you said.
Alternate whatever.
And that's the thing I mentioned. I really think, I mean, obviously we're never going to find out, but I really feel like she was seeing her alternate selves. At those moments when she goes into those Alzheimer's states, she is living those other moments, which is why she's experienced these things before. You know, because it's one thing to have experienced something and in the present time now revert back to it and think you're in that moment. It's another thing to have a moment that we're seeing for the first time and her saying, you've said that before, you've said this before, and you're going to say this next. Hey, you never said that before. That's a totally different thing, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of the problem with this entire season. Now that we, you know, we have a complete chapter, is those things were left hanging too much. Like, I'd be okay with a Sissy Spacek dangling thread if I got a better... I needed a definitive answer on the main thing, which was the kid. You know, we needed... That's what we needed. Leaving the show hanging with that loose end, it tainted the entire thing.
Yeah. It was a fairly decent watch up until this point, but they really...
I really enjoyed everything leading up. I thought the build-up was great. I thought the reveals were great. Everything leading up. One thing that didn't make a lot of sense to me, though, and the only thing I think of was Molly Calder, was when Jackie went and took care of, was taking care of Ruth.
Oh, yeah, taking care of Ruth,
I was like, what was Jackie doing there? It was just like, almost like the only other supporting character we have that isn't doing anything is Jackie, so we need to have Jackie go over to Ruth because nobody else can right now.
I know, right? Like, and maybe we just missed like a 2-second scene where Molly calls her and says, can you come over here and deal with her? I can't, you know, I got to go somewhere.
Yeah.
Would have clarified that a little bit. So did you see the, I don't know if I would call it a post-credits scene, but the final scene with Jackie. You saw that, right? Where Jackie's in the coffee shop after they cut to credits. You didn't see that final scene? Jackie in the coffee shop writing her book?
No, because as soon as the episode ended, you know, and we get the smirk, I got yelled at, and then I went to work. So I did not see the post-credit scene. What happened?
They cut to credits. It's not really post-credits. Like, they cut to credits and then almost immediately have the scene and go back to credits. So Jackie is sitting in a coffee shop writing on a laptop, and she's, like, reading out loud, I guess, like, the final sentences of her book or whatever. And some guy in the coffee shop comes by and says, what's that? And the name of her book is Overlooked. And the guy offers her some criticism, and she says, no, she talks about, and she says, no, he was, the story's about blah, blah, blah. You'll have to, but it escapes me right now what she said, but it was sort of really like, sort of really alluded to the story of The Shining. But she says, yeah, I think I'm going to go out west and spend a few months to finish this book. And so it's sort of, so I'm paraphrasing it incorrectly, but it sort of is really leading up to, I feel like, is that foreshadowing the next season? Will Jackie go out to the Overlook Hotel to finish where her uncle lived to finish the book and have like a you know, scary experience? So go back and watch that.
I have an answer.
Yes?
I have your answer. The title of the family, I was writing a family history book.
Yes, it's family history, and it's called Overlooked.
Which is called Overlooked, in reference to the Overlook Hotel.
Right, where The Shining takes place.
She's going to go out west because the best place to finish a book is where it started. I read that somewhere, which...
Yes. Are you Googling that, or did you now recall the scene?
No, I have it in front of me. I didn't Google it. Let's put it this way. I already had it open because something else I want to say before we're done. It's the last thing on my little picture. And that's actually a really great shout out. The best place to finish a book is where it started. I read that somewhere. Because Stephen King did that with The Gunslinger.
The
first and last line of the Dark Tower series is the same line.
See, that's why I need you to watch these things, because I don't get as much out of it from not being such a student of his work.
With that being said, that's what I wanted to do real quick was go through some Easter eggs that I missed. TV.com has a list of all the Easter eggs from the whole season. There's a couple that I missed that we haven't already talked about. When we first meet Henry, his death row client is Leanne Chambers, who was convicted of killing her abusive husband, Richard. In the tale of the body, Richard Chambers was one of the characters. He was one of the bullies. Now, is it the same Richard Chambers? Probably not, but the name is there.
Right, these are just little homage.
Yeah. That we knew about.
Oh, I know one one that was in the episode tonight. This, I mean, the episode we're discussing for this evening. When Henry is, they flash to 18 months later, and Henry is talking to his client. Henry is now working in property law, and Henry is counseling this guy, and he says, your property line is going right through Wilma's azaleas. And this character, Wilma, it starts with a J, Wilma Janik. Wilma, I read it. And she is, dies at the end of the story that I gotta look this up. She dies at the end of the story that she's in, but we see that she, it's the grandmother. It's Molly's grandmother. Her name is, hang on. It's probably on your list.
No, it's not.
Look it up.
I don't see anything about Mary. About Molly's name.
About Wilma.
Yeah.
What is this show called? Castle Rock. Wilma, hang on. All right, I'll look it up while you
While you're looking,
Wilma
for it,
Jerzyk is from Needful Things. She's from Needful Things. Wilma.
Oh.
Wilma.
I don't remember.
Jerzyk. And she dies in the end of Needful Things. But
I think, you know what? I think I do know who the character was.
Yeah.
And that actually. And actually, it's funny. I totally forgot that we didn't mention any of the Easter eggs from this episode. There was two that I thought of. One, which is pretty obvious, Harmony Hill Cemetery, where Alt Henry wanted to meet, is where the little boy from Salem's Lot is buried before he comes back as a vampire. And the other one was there was another shining moment. Remember in the movie, Danny Torrance, when he's hiding from his father in the maze, he's walking backwards through the snow to hide his footprints.
Yep.
He's walking back through his own. And Henry, as a child, did the same thing, which is how he got to jump on his father to push him over the cliff.
Yeah, that was cool.
Oh, and I'm reading here. Oh, that's cool. There's a picture of the final scene with Jackie, which I totally missed. But her laptop has a sticker on it with WKIT 100.3, which is the radio station that Stephen King owns in Bangor.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, the sticker is pretty, like, prominent in that scene.
Yeah. All right, so what else did we miss that I not mention? Mention that. That's stupid. I talked about that. Oh, you know what? And that, here's something that I didn't even think about. The smiley faces that what's the guard's name?
The guard that goes crazy and kills everyone in like episode. Yeah.
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 Remember throwing smiley faces on the monitor? I didn't even think about this. But
yeah.
Randall Flagg used to wear that smiley face pin in The Stand. So I was trying to make a connection there. But
yeah, there were, I'm sure, tons that we didn't even notice.
This is one I missed also. The Crimson King is the villain in the Dark Tower series, and she has a Crimson King chess piece.
Oh, yeah? All those chess pieces do have little names that she's given them.
Yep. And that's it. Those are the ones I missed that we haven't talked about previously.
Oh. Yeah, you've been good at catching them every week, pretty much.
There might be others. That's just the compilation that TV.com had. So.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Well, yeah. I look forward to maybe, as you said, some interviews coming out with people talking from the show, talking about the finale and what we were supposed to get from it, if anything. Although I think that you're probably more spot on that they're shooting for ambiguity and they're not going to explain. There's maybe nothing to explain. They maybe didn't, you know. Think about it as hard as we did. Anyway.
So next week, we won't have Castle Rock, but we'll have everything else we talked about this week. I don't There's a new show starting on Netflix that I don't know if you've seen the previews for it or planning on checking out. Jonah Hill and I forget the actress's name, the actress that's in it. But it's a new Netflix show called Maniac, which looks really weird. I don't know if we're going to talk about it on the podcast or not. But if you do watch it, maybe we will talk about it.
I'm not a huge Jonah Hill fan, but maybe I'll check it out.
Yeah, I mean, Jonah Hill, I mean, if he's in something that I like, whatever. But the show looks really weird, and I'm not sure what to make of it. I think I want to see Emily Blunt's in it, but I could be wrong. Speaking of Emily Blunt, the trailer for Mary Poppins Returns dropped yesterday.
Oh, yeah, I saw a promo. I went to the movies and saw a trailer for it like a week or two ago. Probably the same one, yeah.
So unless, Jamie, you have something new to watch next week, we'll just have one less show.
No.
But the new,
I think we'll have one less show and then new stuff starts.
You know what? We'll have – oh, you know what? Actually, we will have something to talk about next Wednesday. So I'm pretty sure Manifest starts on Monday.
Oh, yeah. I think we all agreed we would give that at least a first episode check and see how it goes. Yeah. It might be a good replacement. I think we have all committed to – I think Jamie and I are committed to not watching Walking Dead and not forcing anyone to hear about it. I don't know if she's watching – I'm not watching it. I don't know if she's watching it. You know, I think another big without the season even starting, I'm disappointed by them revealing that it's Rick's last few episodes because it seems like that's a huge thing you don't want to give away, and that already there are – in the trailer are the Whisperers.
Oh, are they? I haven't seen any trailers.
Yeah, there's a scene in the trailer where two people are hiding in the mud in like a creek, right? And they're like laying down in the mud so that a group of walkers passing by up on top of the bank won't see them. And you hear one of the walkers go, "Where are they?" And I'm like, "Oh, okay. Well,
okay.
Wait, that's exactly that's like straight from the comic." And we know what that's about.
I saw the casting
disappointed.
I saw the casting for Lydia, and I was disappointed with their casting. So.
Oh yeah.
That's her name, right, Lydia?
Yeah.
I think Alpha's
Lydia
daughter.
Is it Lydia?
However,
Alpha's daughter, I think. However,
I gotta say they did do a good job. I mean, I'm not watching it, so I really don't care. But they did do a really good job casting for Beta, who they cast Ryan Hurst from Sons of Anarchy as Beta, and I think that's an excellent casting.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good.
But I'm not watching it anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, they just did a horrible job with their show in general, yeah. So, all right.
Yeah.
So we'll just go a little shorter next week.
All right, everyone.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, AJ, for another good show.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. You too, Karen. And thank you, everybody, for listening, as always. And we'll do it again next week. So,
all right.
Thank
Talk
you,
to
everyone,
you next week.
And good night.
Good night.